Hello everybody, this is John Cherry's message for Palm Sunday, the 2nd of April, 2023. Today is Palm Sunday, and all over the world Christians will be celebrating the triumphal entry into Jerusalem of the Lord Jesus. If you want a title for my message today, it is simply this: The Day Jesus Came to Town. It was a busy day in the city of Jerusalem. There were two big events taking place. From the west side of Jerusalem, the Roman governor Pontius Pilate was entering town on a horse, surrounded by all his entourage, the soldiers, the cavalry on horseback, with all the officials and all those who wanted to be seen, to be pleasing the occupying forces, would be lining the route. I'm sure that this march must have been timed to coincide with the Passover. Jerusalem was busy, as many Jewish people had travelled there for the Passover. Passover was an important feast day in the Jewish calendar and in Jewish law. Remember that families had to travel to Jerusalem three times in the year to celebrate the feasts. There would be a really busy atmosphere in the city. On the east side of the city, coming from the village of Bethany, there was another person entering town that day, the Lord Jesus himself. This morning I would like to look at a few important things surrounding this visit of the Lord Jesus to Jerusalem and seek, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to take a few lessons from it. The event is recorded by all four of the Gospel writers, so it would seem to suggest that it was an important event. Jesus had spent the night in Bethany with his friends Martha, Mary and Lazarus, and was on his way with his disciples to Jerusalem. The first thing I would like to note about this journey is the obedience of the disciples, and is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 36. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. I have called it donkey duty. Here we have two disciples, we don't know which ones, being told by Jesus to go and fetch a donkey. Look what the Bible says in verse 32. They went and found the donkey, exactly as Jesus had told them. Think about these two disciples. They had been with the Lord Jesus, watching the signs and miracles that he had been doing, seen Lazarus raised from the dead, the blind man given his sight, the lame man made to walk again, crowds following them wherever they went. What a come down. Go and fetch a donkey. A humble job, the lowest of the low. Look at their faith and their obedience. They went. Not 10 questions, no indignant remarks. You want me to go and get a donkey? I have no training in donkey duty. I was a fisherman, or perhaps I was a tax collector. Is there nobody else that can do it? I wonder today how we would have reacted. They had the example of the Lord washing their feet. What an example of humble service from the Lord himself. Their faith, what an example. They went, no indecision. Their trust was 100% in the Lord Jesus. No excuses. They were ready to serve the Lord Jesus with all their effort. What about us? I ask the question. If the Lord requires us to do donkey duty, are we ready? Are we ready to serve today? It saddens me when I hear that church communities are struggling to find people willing to participate in church activities. If Jesus says, "Do something," are we ready to do it? We often sing the hymn about the Lord Jesus being the potter and us the clay. Easy words to sing, but do we take on board the real meaning of the words? Today, are we willing to be used in his service, to be moulded into his likeness, to do things willingly and cheerfully as a result of our love for and obedience to him? Remember, in all that we do, we are serving the Lord. We hear statistics in our Western world amongst evangelicals. If people get involved in church on Sunday with 53% of their available time, then that is a good result. Where is our commitment? If we told our employer, "I will turn up at work perhaps 50% of the time," I wonder what he would have to say. Or our football team, do you think we would be chosen to play? I wonder. These disciples were following Jesus with 100%. What about us? A menial task, being on donkey duty, but it was an integral part of God's master plan. The donkey was for who? None other than the Lord Jesus himself. This had been foretold by the prophet Zechariah many years before, that the Messiah would enter Jerusalem on a donkey. It was a prophecy that the Jewish people knew well. When Jesus passed through Jerusalem's gate, they were openly proclaiming him as their saviour and king, though in the sense of relieving Israel from Roman oppression. The next thing I would like us to think about is the timing. Our God is working to a time in his master plan for the world. This morning, if we had time, we could visit the book of Daniel. Don't worry, we're not going to study Daniel's 70 weeks. I will leave that for the scholars amongst us. It is simply to mention that in chapter 9 we would find that as Daniel was praying, God sent the angel Gabriel and told Daniel that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem 500 years later on Palm Sunday. Historians and theologians have worked it out, and it was exactly 500 years to the exact day. Incredible what a God we have. Not a God of the perhaps, not a God of the maybe, but a God who is true and exact, one whose words are true. Another important timing is the Lord Jesus entering Jerusalem 5 days before the Passover. If you remember that on the first Passover, the people of Israel had to choose their lamb for the Passover sacrifice and observe it for 5 days before it was sacrificed. This is why John declared these words in John chapter 1, verse 29. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What a momentous moment in the world's history. Christ, our Passover lamb, entering Jerusalem on a donkey on his journey to the cross, where 5 days later he would be crucified to take away our sins by the shedding of his blood. Look at the steadfastness, the serenity, the calmness of the Lord Jesus. He was coming, proclaiming peace, not war, like the Romans. Remember, the Bible tells us that he knows the end from the beginning. One whose purpose was unwavering to do his Father's will in saving his people from their sins. I am sure that next week in the Easter message we will hear more about the crucifixion and glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Let's have a look now at the crowds. Can you grasp a bit the enormity of this occasion in Jerusalem? On the west side of town we have the Roman governor entering town. People standing, watching perhaps in awe or frightened by the occasion. And on the other side of town, we have Jesus coming into town. Both coming into Jerusalem, the centre of the Jewish religion. Thousands gathered there to worship the ritual of the Passover. When word got out that Jesus was coming to town on a donkey, look what John tells us in chapter 12, verse 13. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna." Again, in verse 18, they went out to meet him. Who were the crowd who were shouting Hosanna, which literally means save us? Here, they were at the very heart of the Jewish religion in the city of Jerusalem. And what did they do? They ran out to meet him. It's not surprising that we read later on that the hierarchy of the religious system were angry. They were angry at people wanting to follow Jesus. Look what Jesus himself says in John chapter 14, verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Again, Luke writes in Acts 4, verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." The crowd were searching for something they had not yet found. They were living under the oppression of the Roman occupation of their country. They were looking to be liberated, and they knew that the Messiah had been promised to free them. They were shouting, "Hosanna, salvation," and they thought that Jesus was coming to chase the Roman occupiers out of Jerusalem. But no, look again at those words of John, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Are you searching for Christ today? Lastly, let's take a look at this city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was at the heart of Judaism and the known world at that time. History tells us that it has been destroyed twice, surrounded 23 times, attacked 52 times, and captured and recaptured 44 times. I don't think Bergerac could boast of a history like that. Even today, Jerusalem is still at the centre of world politics, and in a future day it will feature again in God's plans, if my understanding of prophecy is correct. This morning I would like very simply to make a comparison between Jerusalem and our lives. Jerusalem was at the centre of religious, economic and political activity. What do we read in our text? The people were coming out of Jerusalem to seek the Saviour. Let us stop and think. How many times have we sought to build our lives on our own strength, trying to do things better, but time and again it ends in failure? Whatever sphere of life that we are involved in without Christ being involved will fail. Look at the man from Ethiopia that Philip met in the book of Acts. He had been in Jerusalem, had left it, and was still searching for answers. Look what these people were doing on Palm Sunday. They were going out to meet Jesus. Where was Jesus crucified to save us from our sins? Outside the city walls of Jerusalem. So do you understand why where I'm coming from? If we want to find Christ, we have to leave the Jerusalem that we are trying to build on our own strength and put our faith and trust in him. To have unquestioning obedience to him like the disciples on donkey duty, to be willing to serve him. The writer to the Hebrews exhorts the Hebrew believers when he writes in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 12, "And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the city, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good, and to share with others, for which such sacrifices God is pleased." So on this Palm Sunday, I trust the message is simple. If you as yet have not accepted Christ as Saviour personally in your life, then go to him shouting, "Hosanna, save me." And the Lord has promised that those who come to him, he will never turn away, as he said in John chapter 6, verses 37 to 40. "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." For those of us who know Christ as Saviour and Lord in our lives today, let us be happy to go on donkey duty if the Lord requires us to do so. Let us have an unswerving obedience in service for him. Let me leave you with the words of the old English hymn. "Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. And I remember it was for me that he was slain on Calvary. Jesus shall lead me night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way. He is the truest friend to me, for I remember Calvary. Oh, I delight in his command, love to be led by his dear hand. His divine will is sweet to me, hallowed by blood-stained Calvary. Onward I go, nor doubt nor fear, happy with Christ my Saviour near, trusting that I some day shall see Jesus my friend of Calvary. I trust that the Holy Spirit might work in our hearts for the glory of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen."